Testimonials and Testaments. It's all about telling people all about what you are, who you are, and what your faith is. This is Father Vasquez, and I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, giving you a testimonial, telling you about Armadoxy. This is episode number 473 of The Next Step, where we connect the dots between the emotional, the spiritual, and the psychological. And we're asking you to take that step with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. During this 10th year of broadcasting, we here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
All you need is love. You believe that? Do you buy that? All you need is love. Well, it's where we're going to start. It's not where we're going today, but I wanted to start off with that. It happens to be the 50th anniversary since that clip, All You Need Is Love, came out. And there will be, I'm going to put it on today's show notes for sure, because I want you to watch it. It's interesting. And it's especially interesting because it came right after our last show. We talked a little bit. Remember last week we celebrated our 9th anniversary? And the beginning of our 10th year. And Susan and I happened to be out in Costa Mesa, where we celebrated with that community over there the 25th anniversary of the consecration of the St. Mary Armenian Church. Very special to me because 25 years ago, we had the consecration of St. Andrew Armenian Church up in Cupertino. And I'm hoping that if all goes well, we're going to be celebrating that in November. And it was 25 years ago that the only Armenian church in the entire world. Yeah, you know, I love that kind of stuff, right? We consecrated it in the name of Saint Andrew, the Nachagoch, the first called disciple of Christ. And very excited about that back then, and still am. Every time I go up there, I love that church. It's like my baby, you know. But this one was consecrated at the same year. And at the invitation of their pastor, Father Mushel Tashian, we went out there, we celebrated with them, and culminating with the celebration of the Divine Liturgy. And I even had a chance to participate in that liturgy. It was very, very special, very emotionally charged too. I'll tell you a little bit about it as we're going along. But one of the exciting things was we just got there. It was a grueling 3.5-hour drive out there. It should take you less than an hour, but you know. LA traffic. Grueling. But we make it out there, okay? One way or another, you always make it to your destinations out here. So we were over there, okay, after this long ride, okay, I'm walking into this event, and there we are, and this dear lady comes up to me, and she goes, number nine, just like smiling. There I am in my black robe, and I'm being approached by this number nine, Revolution 9 little bit that we played last week. And a big shout out to dear Sona. It was just really the perfect thing that I needed to just relax after that drive. And so she told me that she listens to The Next Step. And it was like almost the beginning of a whole weekend. I didn't realize how many listeners we had out that way. So I want to do a big shout out to everybody out in Costa Mesa, in that area. And along with the podcasts, I guess the video casts, those are very popular. The Bible studies, as well as the ones that are up on the Diocesan webpage. Somebody asked, we don't see them, or how can we get them all together? You know what? We'll put a link on today's show notes. Let's make a note of that, okay? Yes, they are on the Diocesan sites, but they're according to dates. If you go to the Armadoxy channel on YouTube, they're all together in one big lump, okay? So you can just watch all the videos to your heart's delight and to our pleasure, of course. Makes us feel good, of course, that that these are being used and these are reaching out places. So we get to Costa Mesa and a very beautiful weekend, and we had a chance to share some time with them. And I'm going to be talking about testimony today. That's the key word today, because a lot happened. We're going to be checking in with Yvette, who's out in Germany. She had a chance, and we're going to be along the theme of testimony. She's going to be talking about some of the refugees and that testimony. That's coming up in a few minutes. But I did want to start off today with this 50 years of All You Need Is Love. This was very popular back in the late 60s, and it was interesting because we came right off of that number 9, and there I was in Costa Mesa, and I was reflecting on that number 9 issue, and then the next morning, Sunday morning. Now, I get to do something really unusual. Last Sunday, got to do something really unusual for me on a Sunday morning. Got to relax. Usually, I'm celebrating the Divine Liturgy, so there's always the issues of last-minute preparations, vestments, getting out there, having the elements for the Divine Liturgy ready, being up, charged. This time I didn't have to go through that, okay? So we had a chance, a very unique chance, to just kind of lounge around until it was time to get to the church. And we got to the church and celebrated with others who were leading the service. So in the morning, we turned on the TV in the hotel room. Now, this is really kind of unusual on a Sunday morning to watch TV. For me, very unusual. But we like those unusuals, right? So anyway, we turned on the TV, and there were two little things that caught my attention, two separate shows. One of them was this Reverend Schuller from Crystal Cathedral fame. I guess it was his son, from what I gathered. It was his son who had some kind of religious show on that morning. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the other one was not. It was a secular show. It was a CBS Good Morning or Sunday Morning with CBS, something like that. And I did just check their website, and that clip is available there. So I'll have a link on today's show notes. Do check it out. It was really nice. 50 years ago to the date, the Beatles had recorded or had televised the All You Need Is Love video. And I was a kid at that time and vaguely remember it, but I did remember it from years later when we would see repeats of it here and there. It was basically the peace mantra. It was the call to love one another. It was very plain and simple. All you need is love. Here it is, 50 years later, and we're saying all you need is love. And I started thinking, like, where did this come from? All you need is love. How simple was that? And to watch the Beatles up on this TV and remember, reminisce the images, young people. All you need is love. And I went to a little bit further. Imagine. Imagine if all you need is love. Would we have given peace a chance by this time? And I started like bringing in all these titles and these songs, and it just got me going that, you know, this is a testimony. Music. Why is music so exciting? Why does it speak to people? It's basically a testimony. It's a way that we are feeling at the time and expressing it. Now, put that on hold for a moment, okay? And let's up it a few hours later. Okay, so this happens in the morning. I'm watching this clip in the morning. All you need is love. Thinking about this idea of testimony. Imagine. And then give peace a chance. And these phrases that were thrown out at us, 60s, 70s. And they become reflections of us today, because they play into how we believe, what we believe, and how we move forward. And we were at the St. Mary event. We had this beautiful Divine Liturgy celebration of the Holy Baldock. And afterwards, we're in their hall. And just kind of blew my mind. when we heard testimonies. Now, you don't get this in Armenian churches too often, but it was just there was a certain magic that was at play that day. And they were talking, perhaps it was because of the anniversary. They talked about the anniversary of the parish and showed some pictures from the past. They talked about the present to the community that's there. And then they looked at the future and they brought up three young people who gave a testimony. In other words, they spoke about who they are, what they are, because of the church in their lives. And I got to tell you, I mean, I was in tears during portions of it. I mean, just to hear these young souls, these young people talking about the importance of that institution, the importance of that church, the importance of that faith in their lives. Testimony, right? Give peace a chance. Begins with all you need is love. Testimony. Can you give a testament to that? Now, we're going to be talking about that because it goes a little bit farther than that. In the Protestant communities, you know that part of their service involves testimony, people getting up and proclaiming how Christ has changed their lives, how the faith has changed their lives. Now, this is a very vital and important part of evangelization, of moving forward, of getting the gospel out. And we see it not only in the Protestant churches, but way before that, we saw it in the Orthodox community. In fact, when you look at Holy Scriptures and you see the early Christian communities, what were they doing if not becoming living testimonies? Now, this connects with the word testament, of course. To testimony is to tell, is to testify, is to share an experience. And the testaments, the New and the Old Testaments that we have, basically do that. So by virtue of the names that we have given to these two testaments, we understand them to be connected to one another. And what I've shared with you in the past is that's not necessarily truth. In other words, can the Christian message stand alone without that Old Testament? Can it? I'm asking you this. And I've struggled with this. In fact, I got such an incredible question this week, and I'm going to be saving it because I do want to do a little bit more on it in the coming weeks. It's about the Psalms, and I really appreciate that question. I'm going to hold off on that, but let's give it a primer right now by talking about this idea of testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Why would you read the Old Testament? Well, it gives you a background, right? It talks about the test. It's a testament. It's the testimony of God's relationship with the world. And not only in Judaism, but it's basically if Western civilization is based on Judeo-Christian principles, we say, and so you get some understanding. But when you look at it in the light of the New Testament, you understand that Jesus completely ripped it apart. His message was radical, it was revolutionary, it was new. He basically said there is no chosen people. You're all children of God. What? Yeah, that's what he said. He said the kingdom is attainable, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are in the upper class, lower class. God doesn't care about those classes. He cares about something even greater. And this week has been a very, very, very enlightening week based on this idea that started developing because of these shows I saw that morning. Yeah, sometimes we need to break away from our routines. We get this opportunity. But also, like I said, we had some questions about some Psalms. But also, I want to take you to a next step too. The next step. When St. Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither male nor female, there is neither slave nor free, for we are all one. For when we have put on Christ, we are one in Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means those divisions, those borders, those things that separate us don't exist in the sight of God. Now, we can buy that or we don't have to buy it. But as a Christian, this is what the faith is. This is what Christ calls us to. And so the question that I asked you, why do you read the Old Testament, is not about why do you read it, but the fundamental question, is it necessary to read the Old Testament to understand the New Testament? Testaments, these testimonies. Well, to some degree, yeah, there is a little bit there. And I'm saying this intentionally. There is a little bit that connects it. But I don't think that it is necessary. And this is what I mean by that, okay? The salvation of humanity is expressed through Jesus Christ. The stories that we have, the Psalms, the negativity, the killings, these are all things that you find in the Old Testament, even to the extent of the laws that were given in the Old Testament. Very rigid, rigid laws. So last Sunday, this is coming to me, and then guess what? We get to church. And what do you think the lectionary passage is? Well, it comes to us from the Gospels, in which Jesus is being picked on because he made this incredible mistake. He and his disciples were hungry. And they dared to pick the grain. They dared to do work on the Sabbath. And Jesus explains very clearly that Sabbath rule is there for you, not you for the Sabbath. He makes it very clear that there is something greater than the Sabbath. And of course, that greater is the kingdom, the presence of the kingdom. Jesus Christ is in your midst. And these themes are coming around, and they're playing with me. And I'm saying that, you know, it's time that we stake our claim. When we talk about orthodoxy, we're talking about the purity. Can we find that pure essence of what Jesus Christ talked about as being this religion, this faith of love? Can we become the testimony to that? Can we testify to that? I'm going to take a break right now, okay? Hope I gave you enough to think about to get you started, okay? Testimony. Testaments. We're going to hear a little bit more. We're going to be actually hearing some more testimony and some real world issues that are coming up, including the refugee crisis. Let's take a break right now, okay? I want to do that. We play a song of the day every week, and song of the week, I should say. I'm picking on John Coltrane right now. He's really a testimony himself to a lot of power, a lot of power in his imagination, in his ability to translate tones into feelings. Here's John Coltrane. Thank you. John Coltrane, a piece called Africa. Cutting it a little bit short, just wanted you to hear his improvisational work as we're talking about testimony, testaments, our own testimonials. You express it in words, others express it in tunes, in melodies, in expressions of their talent. John Coltrane, I hope you enjoyed it. You know, as any song that is instrumental in nature, I mean, think about it for a moment. The name of it, that the musician, the author, the poet, whoever it is, gives a name to this art piece, that too plays into our perception, our understanding. Now, it's different if we just played this, but to know that it is called Africa. How do you interpret that music as you're listening to it? All plays into it. Anyway, John Coltrane, a small little diversion, as we do every week. We divert a little bit by going into some music. We'll have a link on today's show notes, and we are returning back to our show, our discussion on testimonials.
Next step.
Now, I said there were two episodes that took place in that hotel room last Sunday morning. One of them was, I saw this small little clip about the Beatles doing All You Need Is Love. Got me pondering about that concept of, is that all you need? And imagining what would have happened if that's all we had needed. And here we are. 50 years later, would we be in a world that we had given peace a chance? And when you look at All You Need Is Love, they are making a testament. It's their testimonial to a product called love. Jesus spoke about this same product 2,000 years ago. He brought it down to this one little message of love. Finding reconciliation with one another before we find a reconciliation with God. And it was very, very profound. Now, during the time of Jesus, there were a group of people called the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were very learned people. And I have always wondered if Pharisees still exist today. Unfortunately, when we talk about Pharisees, because Jesus is so critical of them in Scripture, we tend to think that Pharisee is a synonym for hypocrite. And he freely criticizes them as hypocrites, people who say one thing and do another thing. But in fact, Pharisees were people who were well-versed in Judaic law and Judaic tradition. And I've always wondered, do Pharisees exist today? Not hypocrites, but Pharisees. And I found one. I found one this past week. It was on the radio. I was listening. And he had an interesting discussion. He was talking about wisdom versus compassion. And he was making the point that so much of our world today is about compassion rather than wisdom, of having that wisdom, that knowledge. Now, I'm going to leave this for a separate issue and a separate day. There are so many things on my to-do list and wish list for the next step. So we're going to get to that, because I've always contemplated, are there modern-day Pharisees? Let's put aside that judgment call on them being hypocrites. Rather, are there people who are really insisting on the law? And I found him. I found him this week. I mean, I want a little bit of time to digest what I did find and present it to you, especially in light of everything that we've been talking about, and especially in light of the scriptural passage from last Sunday, where very clearly Jesus said that it's about compassion, it's about mercy. He says, if you only understood what I mean when I said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Let me repeat that. If you only understood what I mean, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, that compassion is what we need. Not the sacrifice, not the loss. And so it was very interesting that having heard that in church as the scriptural passage of the day, and then I'm hearing this guy on the radio talk a little bit more, I'm realizing that, oh, you know, this is it. These are the Pharisees. And it's about that compassion and versus that wisdom and maybe not having a room for compassion is the problem. Anyway, we will talk about this. This is a completely different subject, but I do want to get on to Reverend Schuller. So we've got his show tuned on. It's on TV, and we're watching it, and he comes on. I recognized his name, Schuller. This is very famous in Southern California. His father had this big crystal cathedral. I don't know what happened to it. I think the Catholics eventually ended up buying it. I really don't know the particulars of it, but I do remember his name. He was one of the original prosperity gospels, if that's the word for it. But basically, it's a feel-good kind of thing that, you know, come and you're okay, I'm okay, God loves you, and let's move forward. And it was beautiful in many senses because people reacted to it. It was something that for me became a point of understanding who I am in the sense that I am not that. Does that make sense? Because, you know, you get to these passages where Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, pick up your cross. It's far from if you're going to follow me, you know, it's going to be air conditioned all day long with a bed of roses. Okay, so that being said, let me also add to that. I'm not doing this right now to compare and say my religion is better than somebody else's religion. It's just that I want you to understand differences, because as we're talking about the bigger picture, as we're talking about what that faith is and how that translates into our everyday life and our relationships, it's important to understand this. For instance, when you see a Reverend Schuller, it's very it's so obvious. He's got like thousands of people sitting in that auditorium listening to him, and then you go to an Armenian Divine Liturgy with a handful of people, or if at best, when we were celebrating every Sunday in one of our churches, we would have a few hundred, but still, there was so much more opportunities for more people to come. So you say, why? What's the attraction there that we don't have? Well, let me start off with this. This was really an awakening for me. He started off his show by saying, this is our creed, and I want you to repeat with me. So he basically invited people to proclaim their creed. Now listen to this. What is our creed? The Nicene Creed. I believe in the Father, believe in the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, and so on. Well, here's what their creed was. He says, I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. Now, it sounds beautiful. It really sounds beautiful. In fact, I love it. It's very nice. But a creed for your church? Did you notice something? A particular word? I'm not what I do. Well, who says you're not what you do? Who says that? No, I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. Well, who says that? You know what you have, the possessions that you have. Jesus says straight out, right? I'm not what I do. He says, no, you are responsible for that life. You are what you do. Jesus says that, right? He says, I was hungry and you fed me. Who you are is what you do. I'm not what I have. Jesus says, your possessions will define you. It is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. What is that supposed to mean? What you have. Define who you are. It's the trappings that we get consumed with, right? I'm not what people say about me. I'm the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it away from me. Okay, so let's count these. Okay, I'm not. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it away from me. I, me. Wow, this is really about you. And I guess you can argue that that's what faith is about. It should be about you, your relationship. But it also explains why the Christian faith is so difficult. It has so many ramifications that if you were to stop and ask somebody, is this a Christian denomination? They would say, yes, it is. When in fact, when we're looking at Armodoxy, when we're trying to go back, when we're looking at the early expressions, we're seeing that it wasn't about prosperity. It was about sharing, about understanding. Our commitment to not only God, but to our commitment to God is defined by our commitment to one another. And so that Sunday morning, I heard this, and I saw that as a testimony. It was a testimonial. Then, as I said, we went on to Costa Mesa, where we heard these testimonials from young people talking about the power of the church. And it was so beautiful. Then the following day, I'm driving along and I'm listening to the radio. And what do I hear? I hear a conversation with a poet. Her name is Nikki Finney. And she's talking about why social disconnect helps to fan the flames of bigotry. Wow. Social disconnect helps to fan the flames of bigotry. So I'm listening, and then what do I hear her say?
Much of it is about the lack of empathy that we used to talk about, and we used to teach our kids from kindergarten, you know, up until they left our nest. We used to talk about how you won't be a whole human being unless you understand, you know, what it means to walk in somebody else's shoes. Now, everybody didn't get that lesson. I understand that. But I know that when I was growing up, that there were people who were told that. And we don't talk about that anymore. We don't value it in the way that we should.
Did you catch that? We used to talk about it. We used to talk about you won't be a whole human being unless you understand what it means to walk in somebody else's shoes. What? Have we heard that before? Where did that come from? To walk in the shoes of others. It's how simple it is. Now, listen. 50 years ago, the Beatles said, all you need is love. Who said that originally? Jesus said it, right? Today, you hear me say, walking in the shoes of others. Who said that originally? Jesus said it. Now you're hearing Nikki Finney, a poet, talk about that. Who said that originally? These are all basic Christian understanding, fundamental understandings of how we get along with one another. If you're going to get along with God, you need to get along with one another. And not only get along with one another, but to be the custodian, to be the caretaker, to be a brother, a sister to people in Christ, in love. Wow. And so from there, I heard this testimony, and that morning I spoke with our dear friend Yvette Hovsepian-Bierce, who's in Germany. And what do you think she starts off with? I'm going to play you a bit of that conversation right now from Germany. Bad recording, but you'll make it out.
A lot of them come here to this country to serve, to give back for what they have done for her and her family 30-some years ago. So for them, it's so beyond comprehension that they really take so much encouragement out of this. Mm-hmm. And for them, this is an amazing, such a big deal because, first of all, America has such a bad reputation now. We sound like a country where we don't like others and we don't like outsiders, so we've shut down our doors and we don't want to do anything, we don't want to contribute. And which is not true. I mean, we financially help, but, you know, the image of America is pretty bad right now, at least in here. And for them to see you as an American, a Christian, a former refugee, it's altogether such a testimony. I can't even define and describe the magnitude of the impact.
Did you catch that? It's an expression. It's an expression becomes a testimony of what's going on. It's a testimonial to what is happening. Of course you are what you do. You are what you say. It's that responsibility that goes with it. Yeah, we all mess up. We all mess up. We all fall short of the mark. And it's very easy to say everything is good and, you know, we'll just move forward and that's fine and everything. What's difficult is to take an inventory and say that, yes, okay, I did make some mistakes and now I work towards the good. That's the testimony of the New Testament. That's the testimonial of being a Christian. That, yes, we are human. We fall short of the mark, but we have an opportunity to try. We have an opportunity to stand up again. And so when we get on the level of the big testaments, the New Testament as opposed to the Old Testament, enter the New Testament right at that point. That's what the New Testament is about. It's the new testimony. That, okay, we've fallen off the path. Now here's an opportunity for reconciliation, and God's reconciling us. God says, enough. Now you have an opportunity to start as one. And anything you do from this point on will be accounted for the New Testament, for this new opportunity. That's truly an eye-opener when you realize that what Jesus proclaimed, the message that he brought, what his understanding was completely radical, revolutionary, and new. It was liberating because it was new. It didn't keep you to the confines, but really opened up all the opportunities. You are special. Yes, you are. Not because you're the chosen people, but because God has chosen everyone and has chosen you. You are a child of God. And all of us are united as children of God. That's what was unique about Jesus' message. The poor, the suffering, were invited to the kingdom. Yes, the rich, the landowners, the people, the learned, yes, God bless them. But it didn't belong to them. The kingdom was not only theirs. The kingdom belongs to everyone. This is what's radical about Jesus' message. He basically broke down the system of the haves and have-nots and said that you all have because you are all the children of God. You don't need to worry about those possessions that fill up your pockets because God has filled you up with the love, with the determination, with the hope, the health inside of your own hearts. And every one of you is eligible to the kingdom of heaven. It's a big difference. It's a radical difference. Now, I want to continue on this in the coming weeks, especially as we're getting closer to the forgiveness conference. Last week, I got a very nice email, and I want to hopefully hit it by next week. In the midst of all this forgiveness we're talking about, how about the Psalms that say, you know, God smite that person? Basically asking God to take his revenge on people for on our behalf. I mean, there's Jesus eschewing violence and judgment. And here are the Psalms saying that, no, judge them and kill them. We're going to look at that, I hope, next week. But I did want to start it, maybe start that discussion with this preface today. Testimonials are our expressions of faith. You have to begin someplace by expressing that faith. The testimonial, a testimony to what you believe, how it works in your life, is so essential. And that's really one of the parts of, you know, we do this every Lent where we do some self-introspection, and we think that, well, Lent is a nice time to do that. Yes, it is. It's perfect. It's that 40-day period where you can do that. But really, the Christian is invited to do that constantly. And you have to do it constantly. Why? Because you're in a world with constant stimuli. Every day you're bombarded with new information, with new challenges. And how do you react? We're in a world right now that's looking at testimonials, and what we heard a few minutes ago, it's making its judgment based on what is perceived rather than what is identified, what is said. Now, you know, the whole experiment in Armadoxy that we began several years ago is based on this idea that there is a testament that needs to be spoken. It's a testament of a group of people that have gone against the odds. And equally as valid as what we find in the Old Testament being the history of the Jewish people, equally as valid, every people have a testament, have a story that needs to be told. In the case of the Armenian people, there are stories, there are myths, there are legends, which also back the same message of redemption and salvation. But the point of salvation is only through God, one which Jesus Christ demands that we connect with the vine, demands that we connect with where all of it begins. Now, you know, in a couple weeks, we're going to be commemorating the sevens. It's 7717. We're going to be remembering Jesus' words. How often should I forgive? Seven times? No, seven times 77. Well, how do you do that? Well, it begins by putting the self on hold. Yeah. The interests of the community, the interests of others are equally as important as yourself. Yes, it's great that you can proclaim a faith, a creed that is about you, 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 you. But you function inside of a community. And as much as I'm very proud and happy that you are important, so is everyone else. This is where we get into problems when we start saying, I am more important than somebody else. No, you're not. Sorry. In God's eyes, we are all his children. In God's eyes, we are all one. Not because I said it, God said it. And over, we hear Jesus Christ uttering those words. When you do it for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. What is he doing? He's equating the King of Kings with the least. The ones you say that are the least. The most insignificant. The King of Kings with the least. You know I like saying that word, right? With the least. He's equating it all. And we're all in it together. All you need is love? Yeah. Imagine a world where we've given peace a chance. Here's Susie telling you about what we're doing. I'm going to come back with some announcements, okay?
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around six continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to all of you for all of your support, for all of those wonderful, wonderful messages you send us, and your encouragement. Most importantly, thank you for your prayers. A couple days ago, the main computer, the main In His Shoes computer, went down. It's a desktop unit. We're into laptops. We do a lot of most of our work on laptops, but there is one desktop unit that pulls it all together. It was running an i7 processor, and I'm excited about it. But anyway, it went down, and probably the repairs are not worth it. I've had it for, 8, 9 years? It was 2009 model. What's that? 8 years, yeah. Nah, that's good. That's a good life expectancy, right? 8 years for computers. Yeah, it went down. So, you know, there's costs. There's costs for the web space. There's costs for the broadcasts. And they're all made up by your generosity, your donations. We have so many people who put themselves on regular pay schedules. And once a month, you know, once every other month, an amount, whatever that amount is, you dedicate it to this ministry. We very much appreciate it. Thank you to all of you, and God bless you all. I want to tell you about a couple events that are coming up. One is July 7th. It'll be the decennial. In other words, every 10 years we put this together. We've been putting it together. Well, we put one together in 2007, and this is our second one, the second decennial event called Forgiveness. And we're going to be going out to Catalina Island for our meditations. And I want to invite you, if you happen to be in the Southern California area, even better, make plans to be in the Southern California area and join us at Catalina Island in the city of Avalon. Yeah, do something crazy. Just come out, okay? It's going to be really nice. I think there's a nice sized group. We're going to be going out there early in the morning, coming back at night, spending some time in meditation, in talks, in discussion about forgiveness. How many times should I forgive? 7 times 77. That's taking place in Catalina on July 7th. Another important date, put on your calendar. Again, this is going to take place in Southern California. It is August 24th. Am I right on that one? Let's see. Just give me 1 second. Could be the 26th. It's Saturday with the sun. Anyway, it's that weekend. How about that? That weekend, the 26th? Okay. We're going to be talking about refugees from the statistics forward. Everybody gives you statistics. What we want to do is give you information right on the front line. We'll have Dr. Yvette Hovsepian-Bierce with us. We'll have Gabriel Starring with us from Chad, talking about what's going on with the refugees, their firsthand experiences, and what you can do. More importantly, what you can do, what we can do. And we're going to try to we will televise that. We will stream that, so we'll hope you'll join us. Put that, mark that down on your calendar. There'll be more information coming up soon. September, it's our annual walk for breast cancer. I'm going to be walking, doing the walk 40 miles, 39.2 miles. If you'd like to support me, there will be a link on today's show notes. Go there and make a donation. It is for breast cancer. And if you would like me to carry the name of a survivor, of somebody who has passed away because of cancer, please drop me a line. feedback@epostle.net. I carry a bunch of names with me. I would love to add a name of either a survivor, of somebody who needs a prayer, whatever the case may be. By the way, this is Team In Her Shoes. Wait, what, did I do the... Yeah, okay, look at... They don't give me a break over here. Team In Her Shoes. I put the accent on the wrong word. Okay, Team In Her Shoes. And we're going to be walking in Santa Barbara. So I'll have a link on today's show notes that'll take you right to my page. You can make a donation right there. It goes to Avon Breast Cancer and all the wonderful work that they're doing to alleviate and the pain of so many people and to rid this world of this horrendous and horrible disease. And we'll be walking for that, okay? 39.3 miles. That's not small potatoes, folks. That's a marathon and a half. And we're going to do it. Slowly but surely, like the tortoise, right? Finally, September 24th coming up. We're going to be celebrating the 35th anniversary of this ministry. And that's going to take place at St. James Armenian Church in Los Angeles, Sunday morning, September 24th. Would love to see you there as well. Okay, that's about it. That's about the whole enchilada altogether, okay? I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Gave you a lot of things to think about, a lot of concepts. It's about testimonials. And certainly the last bit of testimony that we ask from you is tell friends, tell your neighbors. Tell people that you know this will touch about this program and what it's doing for you. On behalf of the wonderful team that brought us this show today, I invite you to get out there on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, follow us, check us out, do all the stuff at inhisshoes.org. On behalf of our producer, Susie, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Roskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Top limit.